If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. Lou Basgell is here. She is with the Buddy Foundation in Arlington Heights. She is the community events planner and a volunteer. In fact, I think with the Buddy Foundation, what makes this organization in part so unique, Lou, is that everyone's a volunteer. I mean, everyone. There is no staff. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
That seems like a crazy thing, but it works. So tell me about the Buddy Foundation and kind of how it works.
Well, the Buddy Foundation is an animal shelter located at 65 West Seegers Road in Arlington Heights. And we opened our shelter about 2008, but we've actually been in existence as an all foster-based since 31 years now.
Wow. Hmm. And I know you've been involved for some time.
25 years.
Well, that's a while. So this organization takes care of, I don't know how to put it, how about animals that otherwise might have fallen through the cracks? Is that an okay way to put it?
Well, we kind of say that we take care of abandoned and abused cats and dogs. That's the way we kind of word our mission statement.
Yeah, and it's an important mission. Do you have any idea about how many animals you adopt out in a typical year?
Cats and dogs included, probably somewhere around 500 to 600.
Wow. I wasn't even aware that that's pretty impressive. So, and it's an important function that you all fill. It's interesting how I'm thinking of a bicycle wheel, and each animal shelter in the Chicago metro is a spoke. And many shelters, including yours, has its own spoke, if you will. It's kind of fills a need, a very important need, and a very special need. I think that is the case for the Buddy Foundation. And what's more, everything goes to support the animals that are there. Now, let me ask you a question, and that is, how do you raise your funds to do all of this?
We do it with fundraisers. We do it at these community events that we go to. It's kind of an outreach thing that lets the public know who we are, what we do. We bring some animals there. But it's a lot of hard work. We are actually pretty lucky, though, where we're located. Our community supports us very, very nicely, and we're so lucky to be where we are.
Yeah, I know what kind of community support you get, and you are very much a part of not only the Arlington Heights community, but the Northwest suburbs as a whole.
Correct.
And you're here in part to talk about one particular upcoming event that if anyone should know about it, I should, I suppose.
I think so. It's so wonderful that you and I have such a great love of animals and a partnership, and you graciously agreed to do a presentation to raise funds, but more importantly, to raise awareness about dog bites and why they're on the rise and what we can do about it.
Yeah, so it's in conjunction with a book that I wrote called Ask.
Yes, Ask the Dog.
Yes, and the reason for that is that we've been all taught, and I'm glad we've all been taught, it's the right thing to ask. You're walking down the street, can I pet your dog? But even with our own dogs, and certainly with other dogs that we don't know, we forget to actually ask the dog. And for people who know about dogs and dog behavior, even the title, people kind of get it. It resonates. It's been something that has kind of been missed. You know, although I must say veterinary behaviorists and others have been talking for years about pay attention to what the dog is telling you. But no one has put it quite this way. And I did it in a children's book in part because at least half of all dog bites happen to kids. And then if that happens, the human-animal bond can fracture And yeah. sometimes the bite is no fault of the dog's in many different ways. The dog may have been saying or trying to tell you in many ways for days, weeks, or months, I hurt. You know, don't pet me because it hurts there. And people sometimes don't pick up on it. If that ear infection or belly issue were to be resolved with medical treatment and people paid attention to what was going on or understood, sometimes people try to pay attention but don't quite understand what the dog is saying, then that bite never would have happened, and this whole spiral that takes place after that never would have happened. And I'm sure the Buddy Foundation, like most animal shelters, does receive dogs, and you shrug your shoulders where the owner has said, this is an aggressive dog, and you're not seeing that at all. Does that happen?
It does happen. You know, sometimes it is an isolated incident. And I can understand to a certain degree, it usually happens with a child. There's a new baby or a toddler or something like that. The toddler certainly can't pick up on signals a dog is given. And oftentimes, it's like one quick moment and the dog is at fault and we need to get rid of the dog.
Yeah. And then the dog lands at a shelter. And these days...
And one other thing that poor little child is traumatized by somebody that they thought they could trust. And who knows if that animal bond is broken for a long time.
You know what? That's an important point, Lou, because it's called cynophobia. That's the fear of dogs. And according to experts, which I am not one of, but according to the American Psychological Association, the incidence of cynophobia has never been so high. And that is because dog bite numbers have likely never been so high. Now, one reason why they're higher is simply we have more dogs than ever before. Another reason is we can track these bites better than we've ever been able to before. So therefore, more are likely reported. Having said all of that, dog bite numbers are still exceeding those considerations. So why is that so? And I think there are a lot of reasons for that, which I'll talk about at the event. But one of the most significant and often overlooked reasons, I think, I'll hear what you think in a second, for many years, has simply been that we forget to ask the dog. What do you think?
I couldn't agree more. Absolutely, Steve. I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I lump a lot of species into one category. To me, whether you're human or a dog or a cat, we're all animals. And I kind of look at when I'm walking down the street, if I meet somebody, they're not going to want me to walk up and hug them or pat them on the head. I try to look at that person. If they make eye contact and smile, then I'll certainly interact with that person. But why don't we do that with dogs or cats or raccoons? You know what I mean?
Well, the raccoon part I'm not so sure about. And I
well,
do know...
because you wouldn't do that anyway.
Right.
I'm just saying, you wouldn't do that with a raccoon. Why would you do that with a dog that you don't know?
Absolutely true. And next time I see you, I expect another pat on the head. We'll be right back to talk more about this event, when it is and where it is, with Lou Basgell of the Buddy Foundation when we come back on WGN. It's an organization in Arlington Heights called the Buddy Foundation. Lou, I have been writing about in my blog, and you can find that at stevedale.tv, about a lot of issues having to do with economics recently. And I've been talking about this since pre-pandemic even, how veterinary medicine is changing and corporate takeovers have significantly played a role. Now, about a third to maybe over a third of veterinary practices are owned by corporate entities. And those corporate entities often own other things, including pet foods and pharmaceuticals, all related to your pet. So they're all kind of intertwined together. I'm not sure that is a good thing for us because we are now, for a lot of other reasons, but we are now, for that reason included, paying a lot more money for veterinary care. In fact, the cost of veterinary care has certainly exceeded what inflation is. And that is not to mention inflation. So we still have to pay for those grocery prices. We still have to fill up our tank. You know, we still have to do all those things and pay more for it than we did a couple of years ago. But by 20%, give or take, the cost of veterinary medicine has gone up at least double that amount. Has that impacted what you're seeing at animal shelters as an explanation, even in the northwest suburbs of Chicago, for people to give up their animals?
Absolutely, because, you know, even though we are in a nice community, it impacts everybody, no matter what your, you know, income wage is. But the people that, seniors and some of those that don't have corporate main jobs, it's a struggle for everybody. And we had discussed before, I do spend some time on the reception desk for Buddy, and 85% of the calls we get are people wanting to relinquish their cats and dogs. And what we all try to do is to find ways to help them so they don't have to do that. And certainly economics has a huge part of that. Between housing and food and veterinary care, those are all significant bits of the pie that fit into it. And sometimes difficult, you know, decisions have to be made, but we all try to find ways. We pass out a lot of food to people that are in need, or cat litter or medicines and things, to try to take care of those that really love their animals.
And most people who have an animal, I suggest, do love their animals. So there are a couple of other factors playing into this as well. It's kind of intertwined, and it is not simple, as many things aren't. But it really struck me that U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren, and I have her video up on my website, I mean, this has made it to Washington, D.C. And it isn't, you know, she happens to be a Democrat, but I would hope that many Republicans, maybe all Republicans, agree with her about what she says about this as well, because it is the extension of corporate takeover, in a way, happening in veterinary medicine. Now, having said that, these private equity companies sometimes come in and save a clinic that is otherwise in trouble. And that clinic may be in a part of town or in a town that doesn't have other options for veterinary care. So it's not all bad. Sometimes it brings down prices because you've got this giant entity that has a relationship with the pharmaceutical. So instead of buying, I don't know, 10 vials of whatever, they're buying 15,000 vials of whatever. So the cost goes down. So it is a complicated issue, but the bottom line is the bottom line. And if people can't afford care for their pets, that's a problem, Louise.
I agree completely. And I still, just my personal opinion, would rather find an independent vet, someone that I know knows my animal when I walk in the door, and I feel their prices are reasonable. It doesn't have to be cheap, but they offer good care, good loving care at a reasonable price. And it's just been some of these bigger organizations sometimes value profits over quality of care.
And speaking of care, I care about this presentation that I'm doing. That was not a very clever transition, but it's the best I could do. Upcoming. So tell me about when that is, where that is, having to do with my book, Ask the Dog and Lowering Dog Bite Numbers. And it's a presentation I often give to veterinary professionals, or a version of it as well.
Okay. Yeah, it's August 15th from 1 o'clock to 4 p.m. in the afternoon. It's located at Friendship Park Conservatory, which is at 395 West Algonquin Road in Des Plaines. It's only a $30 donation. You get to meet the wonderful Steve Dale and hear his presentation. We'll have some snacks and raffles and an opportunity to talk to others and talk about your experiences and just try to gain more knowledge to see what we can do to make things better for us and our animals.
You know, I know a lot of people who, like myself, live in the city and want to get away from the air show. So that's August 15th, which is, I believe, one of the days of the Chicago Air and Water Show. So it's an excuse or a place to go to get away from all that noise. That is
sure.
At 1 o'clock. Tell me again where that is and how people, if in advance they want to get tickets. And I do want to point out that the money goes to the Buddy Foundation. And I heard that you're also giving to other animal charities, potentially?
Yes, we're working on that. I've reached out to a couple of places because it's myself and another person that's actually sponsoring it. So what we're trying to do is open it up to other organizations that maybe they don't have the means to organize something like this, or they don't know you and they just don't know what they can do. So I want to make sure that I can reach out to several places and open it up to them. And whatever funds they raise with selling tickets will go to that particular organization as well.
The money I for sure know is not, just so people know, that's not coming to me. And I'm
No, not at all. No, you're doing this because you are the expert and you care about animals and want to make sure to spread the word.
Yep. That, again, is August 15th. Tell us where and tell us how people can go ahead and get these not-so-expensive tickets, for which they are getting snacks. I didn't know that till now.
We got to feed people. We got to feed their souls as well as their brains.
Listen, if I knew that sooner, I would have come every week for you to do something. All right, so tell us again about where that is and a website where people can sign up.
It's Friendship Park Conservatory, which is in Des Plaines. Our website is thebuddyfoundation.org. They can order tickets directly on our website, or if they prefer, they can call 847-290-5806, and they can order tickets on the phone. There's no specific tickets, but you will be on a list as somebody that's ready to go and learn.
All right. And again, that website is thebuddyfoundation.org. Yep.
Uh-huh.
Louise Basgell, you know, I will see you on August 15th at 1 o'clock. And thank you for all, and thank all the volunteers at the Buddy Foundation for what all of you do. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Steve.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
She is still here, the president of Anti-Cruelty, Darlene Duggan. And there is so much to talk about, Darlene, with you. Good morning. Good morning, Steve. I think this is where we start. It's at Grand and LaSalle, the location that has been Anti-Cruelty for longer than any other shelter in Chicago, maybe the oldest existing animal shelter in America, if not the second oldest. I guess there's a tug of war between two of them is we're older. But has been around a very long time. And now you are serving another community in Chicago, in Roseland.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. We have been here quite some time, kind of embedded within the River North neighborhood, but really serving all of the Chicagoland area. But now we have a new location. We call it our Pet Resource Center. And it's located right in the Roseland community, a community we've been working with for many, many years now. And we kind of come in for a pet food pantry, or we come in for a wellness fair, or we come in for vaccine clinics. And now we're going to be permanently located in that community.
Now, what's the importance of that for Roseland and for serving Chicago as a whole?
Yeah, absolutely. So the whole reason we chose this community to really focus on and really work with is because they don't have access to many pet resources. It's what we would call a pet resource desert. They don't have access to a lot of veterinary care. They don't have access to pet food stores, or they don't have access to playgrounds for animals or green open spaces for animals. So that really is an under-resourced community when it comes to pet needs. And it is a community that loves their pets, just like the rest of us. And so we're really there to fill that void for them and to help bridge that gap between the care that animals require and the resources for them.
Right. And where is it located at in Roseland?
So it is at 519 North 103rd Street, or I'm sorry, East 103rd Street. It's right there in the middle of the community. And right now we're going to be open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. But we're just getting going. That is just our initial hours of operation. In the future, we hope to be able to be open 5 days a week.
And I know there will be lots of announcements down the road in regards to things that are really exciting that Anti-Cruelty is doing. But right now, we are soon talking about Clear the Shelters.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Clear the shelters. A great way for us to move as many animals into new homes as we possibly can. That's going to be coming up at the end of August, August 22nd specifically. It is a big day. We're hoping to do 100, even more if we can, adoptions. It's a highlight. That day is actually a highlight for most of us that work in animal welfare because we get to see so many deserving animals find their new homes.
Why are so many animals being given up in the first place? Now, yeah, animal shelters have existed for a long time. Since the pandemic, yeah, there have been. But in the last, I'm making this up now, year, two and a half, 3 years, in there somewhere, it seems there has been an influx. And I just wrote about this, in fact, on my blog, stevedale.tv, about veterinary cost, which are really way beyond what inflation is. Plus, we all have to pay that inflation. We also pay for groceries and we fill up our tanks. I mean, so we're paying it. But for veterinary cost, it is more than double what inflation has been. In addition to that, the housing issue, the cost of housing for everyone. And then if you have a pet, you may have to pay more. Or they don't allow pets altogether, or allow a dog, but you have three and they only allow one. Or you have a dog that happens to be 55 pounds and they allow dogs under 20 pounds. Are all of these considerable factors, but more considerable than, say, just a couple of years ago?
Yeah, those are always factors that are a problem for animal shelters in that, you know, housing is challenging for people to find for themselves, to fit them families and to affordably fit their lifestyle, let alone sometimes having to work some animals into that as well. And so we do see a lot of relinquishments, or frankly, even a lot of people who are reluctant or hesitant to adopt because of those restrictions. So it kind of hits us on both ends, Steve, the animals coming into the shelter, and it limits the animals leaving the shelter as well.
Yeah. And, you know, people talk about the line outside the door of animal control. And thank goodness anti-cruelty is there. So for those who don't know, by law, municipal facilities, including animal control in Chicago, must take in anything at their door. But anti-cruelty, happily, because it is some relief for animal control, has the same structure in that it is an open door policy. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes, we are an open admissions and open door, which for us means two different things. We will take any animal in any condition. Most of what we adopt out are dogs and cats, and smalls like bunny rabbits and guinea pigs. But you can bring us a chicken and we will take it into our care. You can bring us a lizard and we will take that into our care as well. Health doesn't matter. Health status doesn't matter. Behavior status doesn't matter. We are an open door. What you need help with, we will be able to provide respite for that animal. So yes, we do consider ourselves, you know, kind of working with the city of Chicago and their policy like that. We choose to be open admissions, open door facility to maximize the support that we can provide to the community.
And I want to make an important point of that. If you go to, I'm not going to name names of individual shelters, but to my knowledge, you're the only one except animal control, which by law needs to be that way. But it seems that the real solution here isn't in the seat you sit in, but perhaps examining why people in the numbers that they currently are relinquishing their animals are relinquishing their animals.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I think, a way that animal welfare across the nation really can sort of band together to look at data and to really dig deep into the problem of relinquishment and why does it happen at such volume. We have seen a pretty significant shift in that volume since the pandemic. One of my personal opinions is that it has to do with rolling back our spay-neuter efforts. So I think there are really just a lot of animals out there reproducing that need care in the community. And so one of the things that anti-cruelty is doing is really putting a lot of emphasis and effort into our community spay-neuter as well. And so we are running promotions and we do a lot of fee waived spay-neuter surgery. So I would encourage everybody to take a look at our social media, look at our website for all of those details.
Well, the website is anticruelty.org, and that's exactly where I wanted to go next, to talk about spay-neuter. We will when we come back, and about how you can dine outside with your dog, or maybe dine outside and adopt a dog from Anti-Cruelty at Petterino's Restaurant, a special event coming up we'll talk about too, when we come back with Darlene Duggan on WGN. She is the president of Anti-Cruelty, Darlene Duggan, and we were talking about why people are relinquishing animals, but we are also talking about spay-neuter. And you would think, Darlene, that after all of these years, people would understand the benefits of spaying and neutering dogs and cats. But not only that, there's another issue, I think. Well, I was talking earlier about affordability. You go to a private veterinary practice, and it can cost literally twice as much as just a couple of years ago to spay or neuter. And I'm hearing from people that I'm not spaying or neutering until I find something, a way to do it where it's not cost prohibitive. And for some people, it is through a private veterinary practice. I'm curious if you're hearing the same thing and if you can offer a solution to those folks.
Yes. So veterinary care across the board is becoming way more expensive. And as you mentioned earlier, it's outpacing the natural rate of inflation in other areas of our lives. And so there's something going on there that we need to get to the bottom of. But for folks that are looking for spay-neuter, you know, access to affordable spay-neuter, I would encourage them to reach out to the Anti-Cruelty, look at our website, www.anticruelty.org. We offer low-cost spay-neuter, and it doesn't matter what income level you are at. It doesn't matter what zip code you live in. Everybody here can come and get their animal spayed or neutered at our clinic.
And that's important to know. So again, anticruelty.org. I suggest that if you live in Chicago or the Chicago metro area, there is no reason financially why you cannot spay or neuter because of Anti-Cruelty. And you're not alone. Other organizations that do offer low cost, sometimes no cost, spay or neuter. All right. I want to talk about what I could do on a beautiful afternoon in Chicago. I can go to Anti-Cruelty and I could take a walk. If I'm not ready to adopt a dog, I travel too much for business, whatever the reason is, you can have a dog for a day. Can you talk about that program?
Yes, we call it our Dog's Day Out program. And believe it or not, it was such a big success for us. We now have introduced our Dog's Night Out program. So essentially, if you just need to get your fur fixed, and like you said, for all of those reasons, maybe it's not a good time to permanently bring a dog into your home, you can help the shelter, you can help the dog. Come on in, grab a dog from our adoption floor. You can take it out for a few hours in the afternoon. We have a whole list of pet-friendly places to bring it around the city, and really give it a break from the kennel. As much as our staff and our volunteers try to make this environment as welcoming and as warm and as comfortable for the animals, let's face it, it is still a shelter at the end of the day, and a lot of animals are stressed here. And so this is a way for the animal, the dogs in particular, to get out, get a little exercise, get a little exposure to some sun maybe, get a little different scenery, and maybe they're even going to run into their new potential adopter. It's a great way. It's a win for everybody. And like I said, it's been such a big success for us that we're now introducing pajama parties overnight visits. So if you really want to give a dog a break, take them home overnight and give them, you know, a nice, warm, quiet, comfortable couch to sleep on, perhaps, or maybe a blanket. Again, it gets them out of the shelter and gets them, you know, a little mental break from the stressful shelter environment.
You know, more and more restaurants, you could sit outside and eat with the dog. Well, the dog may not be eating at the time, but you can eat on the patio or on a sidewalk cafe. And Petterino's Restaurant is very dog-friendly. They're downtown, and they have a special event coming up as well that you are participating in.
Yes, on August 8th, we're going to be there with some adoptable dogs. We're going to be celebrating the human-animal bond. People are welcome to bring their dogs and dine at the restaurant that day. There's going to be a lot of fun happening, and Anti-Cruelty will be there with adoptable animals on August 8th.
Petarino's is very dog-friendly, and on August 8th, or anytime, I happen to know, anytime you bring your dog, they have dog treats for your dog, provide water, and lots of loving as well. And in this case, Anti-Cruelty isn't too far away. Physically, you're going to walk some dogs down the street and hopefully find some forever homes for dogs. But if at that event or elsewhere people want to foster a dog, is that a possibility?
Absolutely. Fostering is always an option, and that really helps us to expand our capacity for care. So if adopting is not a good fit for you, or if a dog stay out program is not a good fit for you, fostering a dog always is. Fostering a cat, especially this time of year when we have so many kittens coming through the shelter, always a welcomed addition to our volunteer squad. Again, if you look at our website, anticruelty.org, follow our social media, you'll find all of the information you need there to sign up to be a foster family for us.
And Petarino's is on Randolph and Dearborn, right next to the Goodman Theater. And they have, if you go to their website to learn more, anticruelty.org to learn more about everything I think that we're talking about, Darlene. You've been in animal welfare for a very long time. The difference that you see today, like imagine 25 years ago, just like the event at Petarino's, where a shelter is going to adopt out dogs at a restaurant, and that the restaurant is pet friendly in the first place. I mean, in many ways, it's exciting that we've come as far as we have.
Agreed. Yes. And when I first got into this field, it was uncommon to have so many pet-friendly places across the city. A dog's day out program wouldn't have been as robust at that time because there wouldn't have been as many restaurants or stores or playgrounds or bars or, you know, any of those types of places in the city area that would have been welcoming to pets. Especially in the summer months. So it's been really fun, Steve, to see sort of the evolution and the integration of pets into just daily life around the city of Chicago. We are a very pet-friendly city, and it shows in every neighborhood that you walk through.
So you're not going to hear what I'm about to say. So let's say you're 24 years old, and you're a single guy, and you want to attract people, right? So you can go to Dog's Day Out at Anti-Cruelty, just sit outside with a very cute dog at Petarino's or whatever restaurant or bar that you choose that is dog-friendly. And if you have it, the right dog, which is any dog because they're all cute, can you guarantee that they will come? Is it better than Tinder? I think so.
I think you may have just hit the nail on the head. It is better than Tinder. 100% agree with that.
I think I've created your new ad campaign for Dog's Day Out. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Darlene Duggan. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Steve.
The U.S. isn't just facing a housing crisis. It's facing a pet housing crisis. At a time when more Americans than ever share their homes with pets, finding housing that welcomes those pets has become increasingly difficult. There's a trend that landlords and HOAs allow pets with an additional fee, if they're allowed at all. Increasingly, landlords and homeowners associations do recognize that pet owners represent a large segment of the housing market. So they will welcome pets, often with an extra fee. And the people can afford it, maybe, who live in that part of town. And they'll pay it happily because with it come perks, maybe a dog park on the roof or maybe in the basement somewhere to wash the dog. And that's an extra fee, but they'll pay it. They'll pay for that doorman to come up and you're gone for the weekend and maybe scoop the litter box and play with your cat. And all of that is wonderful. But on another side of town, none of that happens, except the extra fee to have a pet. If pets are allowed at all, housing issues more often than ever before have become the explanation for pets being relinquished to shelters. I recently wrote about a significant hike in cost in veterinary care, and you can read about all of this on my website, and that's stevedale.tv. So many pet owners have added a second or third pet as a result of the pandemic. So here you've got more homes with two or three or four pets or more in some cases. All right, so that HOA or the landlord will say you can have a pet or two, but gosh, you're not going to have four. Or say, okay, you can have a dog if the dog is under 20 pounds or under 30 pounds, which, by the way, makes no sense. I mean, there's no data to support that buildings are safer or people are happier with pets, dogs in particular, that weigh less. That comes from nowhere except the place that they think in their mind, okay, this way we can be politically correct and prevent pit bulls from moving in. Because those pit bull dogs, some are small, but mostly they're over 35, over 45, or over 50 pounds. So if they have a weight limit, and there's no data to suggest that those dogs are any more of a problem. And by the way, if there is a problem with the way the pet behaves, well, that can be taken care of anyway. I mean, if you're a bad neighbor and live in an HOA or have a landlord, it's in the lease that there's perhaps a fine to be paid for being a bad neighbor. For example, not picking up after the dog. Much more about this on my website. That's stevedale.tv. I don't know how often I can talk about this, and apparently not often enough. Dogs really die in hot cars. According to People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, in 2025, last year, 151 dogs plus died in a hot car. And I'm saying plus because all the instances, I'm sure, have not been reported. So far, this year, 51 dogs have died in hot cars. Listen, this is always preventable. Just don't leave a dog in a hot car. Either don't take the dog with you, or do take the dog with you, turn on the air conditioning like we would for ourselves, and then when you get to wherever you're going, make sure it's a place where you can take your dog. And people think, I'm just going to run into the store to get this or to get that. And that's fine, except it takes more time than people think. And I will tell you, on a 90-degree day, a car will heat up to well over 100 degrees in just 10 minutes. We'll talk to you next week, bright and early, on WGN.